Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Necefi. The U.S. government has been partially shut down over a row between President Donald Trump and Senate over funding for Mr. Trump's long-promised wall on the border with Mexico. There were two shutdowns this year, a 69-hour one in January, followed by a 9-hour funding lapse in February, with both of them leaving a little impact. However, this time around, it could be different. President Trump predicted on Friday that this government shutdown will be protracted unless he gets the $5 billion that he's asking for to build the wall. Now, will Trump get it his way? How far will division among U.S. politicians go? What would be the ramifications of a prolonged government shutdown? Now, to begin with, let's go to Washington, D.C. to get the latest from Press TV's Colin Campbell over the government shutdown. Colin, over to you.
Yeah, first we have to point out that it's not a total consummate federal shutdown. This is a partial shutdown, so there will still be services rendered. However, this does hamper some of the developments when it comes to national security. Will there be enough people to count for the TSA lines at the airport? And if they are there, if they are fully staffed, when will they get paid? And at to which point will members of the TSA or other members of the national security agencies and communities start to become frustrated with the point that they may not be getting paid right away, that they'll be furloughed and they'll have to wait to get their paychecks paid in full? These are just some of the dynamics that the Trump administration will have to deal with and consider when it talks about a protracted federal shutdown. Of course, the whole irony here is that some believe that the Trump administration would think that shutting down the government would start to hamper the Mueller investigation, where the special prosecutor is investigating the president over possible collusion concerns. Well, that is still going on and will not be affected by a federal shutdown. So as this investigation continues and Democrats and Republicans fight over whether or not the government will be fully funded at the start of the new year, the Trump administration will be forced to recalibrate how it decides to strategize, focusing on negotiations, and how it will deal with a Democratic House. Well, right now, the Trump administration has as much power as it will ever have heading into 2020. And of course, that's because we have Republicans in charge of both chambers of Congress, the House and the Senate. Of course, we have the president himself, who's a Republican, and a conservative Supreme Court. But that will change come January when Democrats take over the House and they'll have less negotiating and bargaining power. Now, we've already seen the lead Democrats start to assert their power in a recent meeting with the president at the White House, making him pretty much take the blame for a shutdown. And it is of note here that the president himself blamed President Obama during his administration over a federal shutdown and saying that the American public would look at the president to see who was at fault for the shutdown. So if past this prologue, then Americans would then blame the president for this upcoming shutdown. And even though he has been trying to blame it on Democrats, saying that it's all in Democrats' hands now, the true fact is that he's still the president. And he did say a couple weeks ago that he would not, that he would take ownership of the shutdown and that he wouldn't blame Democrats. So really, a lot of the finger pointing will be at the president as we go into this shutdown. And it is unclear whether he will get all the funding that he really wants.
All right, thank you for that. That was Colin Campbell, our correspondent, updating us from Washington, D.C. Now, joining me in this debate today is we'll have from Answer Coalition, Richard Baker, joining us from San Francisco. Also, we have former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett, who is joining us from also San Francisco. Now, let me begin with Richard Baker. Trump and Democrats are playing the blame game over government shutdown, with President Trump calling it a Democratic shutdown, while Democrats are blaming Trump's temper tantrum. Who do you think is responsible for this shutdown?
Well, I mean, first of all, Trump himself said he wanted to take responsibility for the shutdown a week ago, and now he says it's the Democrats' fault. The real, what we really have to look at here is that there is no immigration crisis. That's a starting point. Trump is saying, give me 5.7 million or whatever billion for a wall, but there is no crisis. This is a fabricated crisis. And this is Trump, again, playing to his base, his so-called base, to try to whip people up and get them all excited about the fact that a few hundred people are near the border or a few thousand people. These are tiny numbers of people in comparison to the population of the United States. So this is a fabricated crisis, and Trump has decided to create a shutdown, which is a very, very vicious act against hundreds of thousands of government employees who are either being sent home, furloughed altogether without pay, or have to work without pay. And particularly at a time in the middle of the holiday season, to do this with just such dismissal of the needs of hundreds of thousands of people. And Trump pretends to be a champion of the working person, but I think the reality of, is what we see happening right now to all these government employees.
Now, let's go to Scott Bennett now. Scott, some observers saying that a shutdown is the result of partisan dysfunction. Do you agree?
Well, I think the partisan dysfunction is on the side of the Democrats because they haven't been listening to the American people. And that ultimately is always what we have to come back to. Not the experts, not the politicians, but what do the American people want? They want a secure border, they want to end human trafficking, they want to end sex slavery, and those are the predominant inputs that come from illegal aliens entering the country. They can't speak English, they have very low skills, low education, so they're doomed to a certain life of slavery, and it ends in tremendous tragedy, and many of the times for American citizens themselves. We've seen young girls being killed while they're on jogging tracks, and other girls being shot in San Francisco, where I'm at right now. And that's not to say all immigrants are bad, they certainly aren't, but this is about what the American people want. So President Trump is standing by his guns. He's rising up saying, I am not going to allow the American people to be endangered. I'm building a fence, I'm building a barrier, I'm building a wall, whatever you want to call it. And I think he is going to win that argument because the American people are on his side. They want their children to go to schools where they're not crowded. They want to be able to go into emergency rooms at hospitals where they don't have a 2 or 3 hour wait. They have a 10-minute wait. And that can only be done by cutting off the deluge of illegal immigrants that come into this country and that flood our communities. And also, the American people do not want to happen to America what happened to Europe. They don't want to see migrants and refugees flooding up through caravans into Southwest California, Arizona, New Mexico, or Texas. They're not going to put up with that. And President Trump realizes that. The Democrats' long-term strategy, of course, has been to abandon the blue dog Democrat voters in favor of the ignorant, low-skilled immigrants that come in and make them Democrats, make them slaves to serfdom and follow the traditional Democrat communist manifesto. That's always been their color. That's always been their stripe. And it hasn't been abandoned. But I would love to see President Trump also pull all the military out of Afghanistan, out of Syria, and use all of that money as a military operation to build a barrier, to build a wall, to build a fence, and also do a memorandum of understanding with agencies like Health and Human Services, with Labor, with Bureau of Land Management, in addition to state governments. And you could very easily, very quickly begin erecting a wall. And I look at it from a military perspective. So you have to stop the leak before you can re-engineer the whole piping system. So the fence barrier is a psychological deterrent. It instantly stops people from coming across it in the mass numbers that they are. And in the stopping of the mass deluge, you have the room to maneuver and develop the immigration systems and the protocols to better channel people into this country. And this is about the American citizens. It's not about citizens of other countries. It's about what people in this country want. And they want their schools safe, their children safe, their hospitals cleared. They want to cut in government spending. I think this is a good political move, too, because Donald Trump is demonstrating that the American people can live without these big federal agencies. 800,000 federal workers, guess what? 90% of them are all Democrats, so they're not in his base anyway. but he could very easily make the case that the American people and the American government and the American financial system is better off when you shut down all of these agencies and you don't have them meddling in people's lives and looking for work
and the Trumpistas. This is racist rhetoric, racist demonization going on here. That's what we're hearing.
Oh, please,
we're hearing
please.
That line.
Show
it's a
some respect
lie.
And keep your
it's
mouth shut
lie.
Until
this
I'm finished talking. This is not your show, Mr. Becker.
You go
this
on
is
and
Press
on.
TV.
Okay.
This
know,
is Press TV.
You know, we hear,
if you want to get into a debate with me, then be man enough to let me talk
party,
and then you
right,
talk.
Gentlemen.
Trump, you're a weakling and a coward.
You know, you're just going on and on with the same racist line.
You're a fool because you're not man enough to shut your mouth until the host tells me to talk and then you talk.
Scott,
be a man and be quiet.
Now,
when you
easy,
have your
Scott.
Chance, then you talk. Until then, shut your mouth. Be a gentleman.
A
be an academic.
You're
be a scholar. I've worn the uniform.
Right, Scott,
I've worked
please,
in federal government.
Let's
you
easy,
haven't.
Gentlemen.
So let the host run the show,
Scott
not you.
And Richard, please, let's take it easy. Now, let's go to Richard Becker. Richard. On Friday afternoon, Vice President Mike Pence met with Democratic leader Senator Chuck Schumer and also senior House Republicans trying to find a solution to a logjam. Now, does the failure to find a compromise show deep-rooted rifts and differences?
Well, there are certainly differences. There's no question about that. But the reality is that both Pelosi and Schumer and Trump and Pence all represent the rich and the powerful in this country. They do not represent, none of them represent the people of the United States. And all this ranting from your other guest about 700,000 of the 800,000 employees are Democrat, these are just made up. And the idea that immigrants create crime, the reality is that immigrants, and every study has shown this, commit far less violent crimes than do native-born Americans, native-born U.S. citizens. You know, right now, in the state of California, the whole agricultural industry, which is the biggest in the world, would collapse without immigrant labor. You can't get people, no matter what you pay them, you can't get people who live in the cities to go back to the farms and do farm work. Just like you can't get them to go into mines and do coal mining. So the economy of this country is dependent upon immigrant labor. And the idea that there's a massive influx going on is just, and that they're ignorant and low skilled, this is just, that's just pure racism and pure deception as well. The reality is that on the border there are several thousand people at the most. They say 3,000 now. The United States has a population of 330 million. Lebanon is a very small country, has 4.5 million Lebanese citizens and 2.5 million refugees from Palestine and from Syria. So how does Lebanon able to get along? How does it survive with that kind of a ratio? And then we hear that a massive number of people, 6,000 or 3,000, are coming from Central America and they're going to invade us. And they're an invading force, says Trump. I mean, this is just the purest kind of racist rhetoric. And it's meant to whip people into a frenzy about a problem that doesn't really exist for them. The problem for working people in the United States is not immigrant labor. The problem is the great disparity of wealth, where a tiny handful of billionaires, including Trump himself, control the vast wealth of this country. And tens of millions of people have no health care, inadequate housing, inadequate jobs, inadequate education. But the problem is not immigrants, the problem is the rich.
All right, well, let's go to Scott Bennett. Scott, last week Donald Trump said that he would be proud of a government shutdown. Now, on Friday, he threatened a, quote, very long government shutdown in case Democrats do not fund his border wall. Is he capitalizing on fear and anger?
Well, Trump is not a government animal. He's never worked in federal government. He's been a builder and an entrepreneur and a capitalist, more to speak. He's never really been in the military, although he was in military school at an early age. So he has not got the addiction to government. He's not got the country club attitude towards government. He naturally has a hostility and a distrust, as he should, of government bureaucracy, because it inevitably, when you study the history and political theory, you see that bureaucracies grow like a cancer and turn against the very population that is funding them. Look at the United States military. That is a classic example of a bureaucracy got run amok that really is a self-perpetuating nightmare, because it's really the fanning of the flames of terrorism, and we need to grow more military to battle it. And it's completely out of control. And I think the one area that Mr. Becker and I would agree on is the military should be severely cut in all of its wasteful expenditures and its military adventurism all over the world. Now, that money could very well be used to build a barrier of some description that would psychologically impede free people from coming into the United States. Let's never forget, the American people want to grow their own families, grow their own children, grow their own marriages, grow their own communities, not import them. They don't want to import people from all over the globe. They want to create their own culture and preserve the culture that's here. That's precisely what you see happening in France with the Yellow Vest movement, and in Germany and Britain. You have all sorts of disruption and cultural antagonisms because they have this globalist attitude that everyone can come into France or Europe, and it's causing a major right-wing backlash and a disintegration of the EU that's going to continue and only get worse. The American people don't want that to happen to America. Okay. They're very, very sensitive to it, and they've jumped on to stop this, and that's why President Trump was elected. And it's not a racist thing. It's not a bigoted thing. If you ask every black person and Hispanic person if they want to preserve their jobs and their families where they are in America, they will resoundingly say yes. But when you bring in illegal immigrants, it is the legal minorities in America that suffer most. So any contention that this is racist or bigoted is really white guilt. And I look at this from a psychological warfare perspective. The Democrats, liberals, always try and make white guilt the reason for people to stay at home or vote liberal, vote Democrat, as if big government and this globalist policy is going to assuage their guilt. It doesn't. The American people are standing against that.
Okay, let's get back to the main topic. Richard, what is the prospect for the funds that Trump wants for his Mexico border wall when on January 3rd, Nancy Pelosi is taking over the House?
Well, I think that that's why he's making his move now. I have to make a comment that I thought it was very funny that Mr. Bennett said that Donald Trump doesn't have a country club mentality. He owns country clubs. He's grown up with the silver spoon in his mouth. He didn't make his own way through the world.
Because he earned it.
Hundreds of millions of dollars from his father, who passed it on to him in both legal and highly illegal ways. And that's all come out recently. But the reality is that what there's a need for is rebuilding the infrastructure of this country. What there's a need for is affordable housing. What there's a need for is a healthcare system that really serves the people. Not a wall. If we got billions of dollars to spend, that's spending it on something that is not really the issue at all. The economy of this country can not only absorb immigrant labor, there's a shortage of jobs right now, by the way, all over the place. There's hiring now and signs all over San Francisco and all over the country. So there's a need for more labor, and more labor doesn't hurt the economy, and it doesn't hurt the people who are here. It helps actually build the economy as it presently exists. The capitalist economy is dependent upon more working people. That's a reality.
It and creates so slave labor.
If we're talking about what we're going to do with funds, and the funds are there, the military needs to be brought home from all over the world. And there's no reason for there to be 1,000 military bases around the world. That's hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year that could be used to meet people's needs. I don't think Pelosi's going to do the trick, and I don't think Schumer is either. I think it's going to take the people organizing to bring about the change that we need.
All right. Okay, we're running short of time. Scott, let's have your final thoughts in 30 seconds.
Well, I would just say one thing that's very interesting is Pelosi and Schumer and these people over the age of 65 are suffering from statin drugs, and that's deteriorating the cholesterol in their brain and giving them Alzheimer's and dementia. And that's a very great danger to the security of the United States, is having a political class of mentally unstable and delusional people. And I don't say that with any humor. I'm saying it from a very serious clinical perspective. That you have a population in government that is making decisions for personal egotistical reasons and conflict and fantasies, and it's very alarming. And I think in one respect, over the next 2 years, you're going to see the Democrat mm-hmm. Party self-immolate and destroy themselves. Okay. You're going to see some barrier be built, and you will see Americans rise up to applaud that because they will have achieved a psychological victory of deterring illegal entry into the United States.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. Richard, 30 seconds. Go ahead, please.
I'll just repeat what I said before. We don't need a wall on the border. This is a maneuver. This is a propaganda maneuver by Trump to try to keep people with him at a time when he's losing a lot of support. And when his actions are causing, a lot of consternation at the top as well as among the population. That's not what we need. What we need is to meet the needs of the people. We need to take the money out of the military, no wall, meet the needs of the people.
Okay, thank you for that. Let me thank our guests from Answer Coalition. We had Richard Becker, who joined us from San Francisco. Also, we had former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett, also from San Francisco. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.